This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدني علما رب زدني علما رب زدني علما. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. So we left off at ayah number 127. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. وَإِذْ, this is one of the classic words in Surah Al-Baqarah, happens again and again. وَإِذْ, remember when, يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ, remember when Ibrahim alayhi salam was redeveloping, or he was founding, if you want to put it that way, founding the foundation of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Baytullah, the house of Allah. Now, the reality is Baytullah, it's a metaphor. It doesn't literally mean it's the house of Allah as in Allah is stationed inside of it. That's not what's intended. Sometimes there's something called nisba, attribution for the purposes of honoring. So Allah sometimes chooses to attribute something to Him, not because He's inside of it or something like that, but rather because it's a form of honoring. So when we say the house of Allah, sometimes people actually ask this question. Does that mean, especially kids, does that mean that's where Allah lives? No, that's not what's intended over here. It means metaphorically, this is the house of Allah, i.e. the house to which, to the direction of which Allah is worshipped. That's what it means. Okay, so وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ, remember when Ibrahim was raising and founding the foundations of the Kaaba. Now here, there's a question. Was the Kaaba already there and Ibrahim alayhi salam was redeveloping the foundation? Or the Kaaba had never been made, and Ibrahim alayhi salam along with Ismail alayhi salam were the first ones to make the Kaaba? This is something that the early Mufassirin discuss. Some scholars, they believe that Adam alayhi salam was the first to found the Kaaba. Others, they say, no, actually it was Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the discussion takes place over here. And there are reports, and when we say reports, not from the Prophet ﷺ, from the Judeo-Christian traditions, which can kind of allude to both, right? But none of them are absolutely sound. So we don't exactly know 100%. Was it that Adam alayhi salam, and I've mentioned that a number of times, but it's not conclusive. But we do have reports to this effect that Adam alayhi salam made the Kaaba. And then over time, especially after the flood of Noah, you know, it basically disappeared and no one knew where it was. Ibrahim alayhi salam came and he refounded it. Okay, redeveloped the foundations. وَإِذْ يَرْفَ, and that's why it's interesting. He doesn't say when Ibrahim was developing the foundations. It says when he was raising the foundations, as if they're already kind of there. مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ, and Ismail alayhi salam is also doing that. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا, O our Lord, accept from us. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And they were saying, as they're making the Kaaba, I mean, think about it. Is there a better deed that you can imagine yourself being involved in than developing the Kaaba itself? Of course, there's nothing else that a person can imagine. Hundreds of millions, probably billions of people will be praying towards the Kaaba, right? And for centuries on in. And these are prophets of God, so they already know what's going to happen. Like, they don't know the future, but they have been given a sense of which direction humanity is going to be going, right? So, they already have an idea that this house of Allah is going to be worshipped by, towards by, and within as well, by hundreds of thousands of people, of millions of people, billions of people over centuries. But even then, they're worried, is our action going to be accepted? رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا, O Allah, accept from us. So no matter how grand your action is, at the end of the day, you don't know whether that action will be accepted or not. It really goes back to your intention. And that's why they say to Allah, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. You are a Sami'. You can hear our dua, and Al-Aleem, you know what's in our heart as well. You can hear our dua, and you know how our heart is when we are making this Kaaba, and when we're founding this Kaaba, when we're redeveloping this Kaaba. رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا. O Allah, O our Lord. And رَبَّنَا is one of those hallmarks in the du'as of the Anbiya. Throughout the Qur'an, رَبِّي, رَبَّنَا. Why? Because by invoking the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal, you end up increasing the chances of your dua being accepted. Remember that person who the Prophet ﷺ gave an example of, and he said that رُبَّ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ, a person who's maybe not fully kempt, and he's asking Allah Azza wa Jal, and what does he say? Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb. He says, my Lord, my Lord. So he uses the word Lord again. But that person, his dua is not accepted. Why? Because his food, as the Prophet said, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامُ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامُ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامُ فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. His food is haram, his drinks are haram, his clothes are haram, meaning he's involved in haram income. And such a person, how is Allah going to accept his dua? But still, the word he's using, and the Prophet was trying to say, he's basically trying everything that would make his dua get accepted. The word he's using is Ya Rab. Right? The prophets of God, they use Ya Rab or Rabbana. Actually, when you say Rabbana, already it means Ya Rab. The fact that Rabba has a fatha on it, that means there's a hidden Ya there you can't see, but it's there. Ya Rabbana, waj'alna muslimayni lak. Make us, Rabbana, waj'alna muslimayni lak. Make us Muslims for you. That's their goal. That's their goal. Your goal is to be a Muslim. This is your goal. Focus on that. Don't try to be anything more or less. The prophets of God throughout the Quran, you'll see this. It's all about Islam. People make all sorts of schisms and they want you to be part of it. Don't become part of it. Stick to Islam. That's enough. رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا. And also from our progeny as well. Now they already know Ibrahim alayhi salam was making a dua. قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. He said, what about my progeny? Allah said, as for the people who are transgressors from your progeny, they won't be included. So now in their dua, they're already incorporating the idea that we don't want all of our progeny to be Muslims, because Allah has already given them that signal that not everybody will be. So they say, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً. And also from my progeny, not all of my progeny, a group of people who happen to be Muslims. An ummah that happens to be Muslims. Look, they've done Islam, meaning they've submitted themselves to you, for you. لَكَ وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا. And show us the rites and rituals as well, of Hajj and other than Hajj as well. So it was all of the rites and rituals of Hajj, they are learned from who? From Ibrahim alayhi salam and from Ismail alayhi salam. The tawaf around the Kaaba, the sa'i. For all of that is learned from that family, okay? So that's why they say, وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا. Teach us how to worship you as well. وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا. And accept our repentance as well. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. You are the one who is the acceptor of tawbah, and you are the one who is also ever merciful as well. You are at-tawwab. You make tawbah. And you are al-rahim as well. Meaning you accept tawbah. And you are al-rahim as well. You are ever forgiving. So even now, these are prophets of God. They're worried about their tawbah being accepted. They're asking Allah, accept our tawbah, O Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Rabbana. Now who is this ummah muslima? Some say that this is the ummatul Islam, because one of the umam, one of the nations that came out of the progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salam, obviously is the ummah that followed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? But it could be general, because obviously we're not limited to the people who followed the right guidance from the children of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Other people did as well. The followers of Isa alayhi salam did, the followers of Musa alayhi salam did, Banu Ya'qub in general, they did as well, at least at some point in their existence, right? Allah continues and He shares their dua. Now this is more particular to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. See, that's why I said the first one is probably generally all of the ummah. رَبَّنَا وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ Oh, our Lord, send a prophet within them. يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ Send a prophet, a messenger amidst them who recites upon them your verses. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ He teaches them the book as well, the Qur'an. وَالْحِكْمَةِ And He also teaches them wisdom as well. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ And by the way, this right here is the trio that you'll always find in the Qur'an mentioned along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing three things. He's teaching the people the Qur'an. يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ He's teaching them the wisdom as well. And He's also purifying them. These are the three tasks that are often mentioned by Allah Azza wa Jalla, at least in three places in the Quran, along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? So that means that these are some of the primary roles of the Prophet. Number one, he teaches them Quran. He teaches them the Quran. You know, I have this Quran lesson. I can't tell you how many times someone asks me, Shaykh, why don't you teach that? Why don't you teach this? Wallahi, I have a dars once a week. What should I teach you? What the Prophet used to teach? Or should I teach you something else? The Quran. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ And the wisdom. And Imam al-Shafi'i said this hikmah is referring to sunnah. And that's the reason why I do sunnah on the Saturdays. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ And he also purifies them. And I try to do that in the khutbah. Because these are the three primary tasks that the Prophet ﷺ had been given. Number one, to teach the people the Qur'an. Number two, to teach the people the sunnah. Number three, to teach, to purify them and give them ways to make themselves better people. These are the tasks. If you're able to do this, everything else is secondary. Everything in Islam is related to these three things. Number one, you learn the Quran. Number two, you learn the sunnah. And number three, you learn to purify and better yourself and become a better Muslim. Within these three things, you'll find everything else. All the other sciences have only been created to support this task. Number one, the Quran. Number two, the hikmah, the wisdom. And that also shows you something. That Allah again and again in the Quran, He refers to the sunnah as hikmah. So if you're looking for self-help and you're looking to figure out and become a wiser individual, where should you be looking? You should be looking at the sunnah of the Prophet. It will give you that wisdom. Allah calls that sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hikmah, wisdom, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ And purifies them as well. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ You, O Allah, are the ever mighty and you are ever wise as well. That wisdom that comes from Muhammad is but a portion of the wisdom that you granted to him. So, learn the Quran, learn the Sunnah, purify yourselves, make yourselves better people. This is what the Prophet ﷺ was sent to do. And the religion of Ibrahim a.s. was the religion of Islam, as you'll find even in the completion of this page as well. That was the religion of Banu Israel in general. This was the wasiya of Ibrahim. This was the wasiya of Ya'qub. The counsel, the message, the last words of advice, you can say, right? The words of advice of Ibrahim, of Ya'qub, to their children as well. That do not die except in the state of Al-Islam. But what happened is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, and He tells us that وَمَنْ يَرْغَبْ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِيَ نَفْسَهُ Who is it that will turn away from the direction, the way, the path, the religion of Ibrahim except for a person who's gone crazy? He's saying that no one would do such a thing that they would turn away from the path of Ibrahim except for someone who's actually basically gone crazy, he's lost it. إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِيَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَقَدِ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا We chose him in this world. وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ And he in the hereafter will be amidst the pious people as well. Now, After Ibrahim alayhi salam, and after Yaqub and Ishaq and Ismail, and after Musa and Isa, and after all of the prophets, slowly but surely there were a group of people who otherwise belonged to this long legacy, but they had left the path of Ibrahim. So Allah is saying those people who left the path of Ibrahim, basically they've done so when they've lost it. As in Quraysh in general, because pretty much everybody in Quraysh at that point was no longer following the path of Ibrahim, even though they knew Ibrahim. It's not like the people of Quraysh were unaware of the existence of a figure called Ibrahim, or even Ismail for that matter, because they know, remember, Arabs are very keen on their lineage. They know Quraysh specifically that we come from Ismail alayhi salam. And that's why they have portraits of Ismail and Ibrahim inside of the Kaaba as well. So they're aware that there's someone called Ibrahim, there's someone called Ismail, but they've left the message. And Allah says, who will turn away from the path of Ibrahim? إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَ, except the person who's made a big mistake, except the person who's basically gone crazy, who's lost it, who's become a safih. But then, slowly but surely, before the advent of the Prophet ﷺ, a group of people in Quraysh, they started to think about what's going on. Everybody is worshipping these idols. People are walking around the Kaaba naked. There's a red light. There was a historic version of a red light district also in Mecca as well. They would put red flags instead of red lights over there. All sorts of vices and evils there. Okay? But here, a group says, one of them is Zayd ibn Amr, Waraqah, and a couple of other people who had some brains. They started to look at the situation. These people are worshipping these idols. Even when they take the cloth off the Kaaba, they start to venerate the cloth itself as well, and all sorts of things. And they're worshipping the idols, more importantly, right? So a group of them, they said, you know that these idols, literally these are their words, you know that these idols, they do not benefit and they do not harm. And all of our people, they have specific days in which they venerate these idols even more and revere these idols even more than they usually do. So let's think about it. So a number of them, they started to wander around different places in the earth. Some of them went to Asham, others they went to other places, and they started to search for the remains of the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And as the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, that at that time there was basically no one who was a believer except for baqaya min ahli al-kitab, except for some remaining people who were still clinging on to the books that were there previously. Ibrahim alayhi salam's religion was almost finished. Isa alayhi salam's religion was almost finished. They all have a primary message, but they're slightly different, obviously, right? And Musa alayhi salam's message is also kind of finished. It's coming to an end. But some of these people in Quraysh who were completely away from religiosity, they from divinely ordained religions, they started searching. One person by the name of Waraqah, and I'm sure you remember the story of Waraqah from the Bukhari class, right? He accepted Christianity and he learned the Gospels and he learned a lot of the knowledge of the people of the book, and he brought it back to Arabia. As for Zayd ibn Amr, this person, he was the one who, Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail, he was the one who decided to accept the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He didn't want to become a Jew. He didn't want to become a Christian. He said, looks like they're not completely in line with the original creed. So he decided to leave whatever organized religion was available, and he decided to stick to whatever he could find out of the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So this was the only person at that time in Arabia that was following the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah is saying, whoever leaves the path of Ibrahim, except for who? No one leaves the path of Ibrahim except for the person who's gone crazy, who's lost it, who's lost the plot. So everybody's lost the plot, basically. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that at that time there were no one was there who would worship Allah alone except for a remainder of the people of the book. And literally you could count them on your fingers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues. And he says, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. When Allah told Ibrahim alayhi salam, أَسْلِمْ. So again, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling Ibrahim alayhi salam to do? Accept Islam. قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He said, I've accepted Islam for my Lord. I have submitted myself before the Lord of the mankind and the jinn kind and the universe at large as well. قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I have submitted myself for the Lord of the human beings, of jinn, of other creatures as well. So he's also accepting Islam. Allah is telling him to accept Islam. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is being told also to accept Islam. Meaning, humble yourself to the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is so important. You have to train yourself to not contest Allah. This is very important. Like sometimes, subhanAllah, we tell people a ruling and they say, no, this is your opinion, brother. Wallahi, if it was my opinion, take it and throw it at the wall. But if I tell you that Allah is saying this, now it's not my opinion anymore. I'm just delivering what Allah said. Yes, I know in the process of delivering, sometimes I add my own sauce as well. There's no doubt about that. Take the sauce out, but take the meat. Take whatever Allah is saying and accept that. That you don't have a choice about. Okay? There's no choices about that. قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I have submitted myself for the Lord of the universe, for the Lord of the jinn kind, and the mankind as well. Because al-alameen, as Ibn Abbas explains it, is referring to the jinn kind and the mankind as well. This is a unique word where the singular is more pluralistic than the plural. So the singular refers to universe at large, al-alam. But when you say alameen, it refers to a more specific portion of the universe, and that is the jinn kind and the mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and he says, وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ. And this was the counsel, the advice of Ibrahim to his children, Ishaq and Ismail. وَيَعْقُوب. And also Ya'qub ibn Ishaq or Israel, to his children as well. This was the advice of both of them to their children. يَا بَنِيَّ. O my children, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ. Allah has chosen this religion for you. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. So do not die except in the state of Islam. And that's why when the discussions around quote-unquote the Abrahamic faiths take place, you have to be cognizant that the Muslim belief is that Ibrahim is a Muslim. The Muslim belief is that Banu Israel, before they corrupted their religion, they were all Muslims. Because this is the advice of Ya'qub. Who's Ya'qub? Israel. So the children of Ya'qub are being advised by him. And what is he saying? فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Do not die except that you happen to be a Muslim. So this is our belief that all of the prophets of God, they're all Muslims. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. We don't divide and differentiate between any of them. Rather, they're all Muslims. Now there's another important question over here. And that is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues. And now, Ya'qub is being mentioned over here, right? Obviously, the reason why Ya'qub is being mentioned more specifically, even though technically, Ibrahim and his children already include Ya'qub alayhi salam, right? Ibrahim and his children already include Ya'qub alayhi salam. But why is Ya'qub alayhi salam being mentioned more specifically? Why? Because the story is all about who? Banu Israel. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it a point to mention Ya'qub alayhi salam right after. Why? Well, because Ibrahim alayhi salam is the father. The children of Ibrahim already include Ya'qub, but then Allah specifies Ya'qub alayhi salam because Ya'qub alayhi salam's story is basically what's being highlighted over here. This all, most of Surah Al-Baqarah is about Banu Israel, right? In fact,
the title Baqarah itself is what? It's related to the story as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, and He says, وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمِ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبِ. This was the advice of Ibrahim alayhi salam to his children. Also the advice of Ya'qub to his children as well. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ. Allah has chosen for you the religion. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Allah continues and He says, تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ. That is an ummah, that is a nation. It's already finished, that nation. It's gone. Who is that nation? That nation is the people of Ibrahim, people of Ya'qub alayhi salam, their children, Banu Israel. They're all already gone. They're under the turab, they're under the dirt. They're 6 feet under. So now Allah is... See, Allah does this. Whenever He's addressing a specific group, you'll see this in the Quran many times, Allah will go really hard and then He'll press the brakes. Why? Because He wants to give that person an opportunity, that those hard words were intended to stir something into them. And Allah has already done this in Surah Al-Baqarah more than once as well, when He's addressing Banu Israel, and then He takes a break for a second because He wants them to also, the readers, to maybe they will be guided. Right? So, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ. Or were you present, were you there at the time when Ya'qub alayhi salam died? Were you present at that moment? Because when Ya'qub alayhi salam died, he gave guidance to his children. And so now Allah is telling Banu Israel, were you present at the moment when Ya'qub alayhi salam passed away, when he was giving his children the advice as well? What was the advice? إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. He said to his children, what are you worship? What is it that you were, what is it that you're going to worship after I die? قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ. They said, we're going to worship your Lord. وَإِلَهَ آبَائِكَ. And we'll also worship the Lord of your forefathers. And this is very interesting. We'll worship the Lord of your forefathers. But then think about this. Who is the forefathers of Ya'qub? Ya'qub alayhi salam's direct father is Ishaq. His father is Ibrahim. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the children, they're saying that Ibrahim wa Ismaila wa Ishaq. We're going to worship the Lord of your forefathers, Ibrahim, Ismail, and Ishaq. So Ismail is actually not a father of Banu Israel. He's not a father of Ya'qub. But because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us in a hadith, authentic hadith, he said that عَمُّ الرَّجُلِ صِنْوُ أَبِيهِ, that the uncle of a person is like his father. What does sin actually mean? Have you ever seen those trees that are basically, that have one root, but then there's two trees popping out from that one foundation, or from the one root, right? So those two are called sinwan. One of them is a sin, and the other one is another sin. So the Prophet ﷺ said that, عَمُّ الرَّجُلِ صِنْوُ أَبِيهِ, that the uncle of a person is like the one of the two sides of the tree that has the same roots. So he's like a father. And that's why they, when they're saying that we're going to worship your Lord and the Lord of your forefathers, they say, Ibrahim wa Ismaila wa Ishaqa ilaha wahida. He's one Lord. We're going to worship only that one Lord. And on top of that, they say, wa nahnu lahu muslimun. Again, there, even Banu Israel have this concept engraved within them that essentially we are Muslims. We are all Muslims. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presses the brakes, and that is tilka ummatun qad khalat. This is an ummah that basically left. Who is it? Ya'qub alayhi salam and the children of Ya'qub, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ishaq in the middle as well. All of those prophets of God that I've been talking about, and also your forefathers that I was referring to with all the favors they had and the disbelief they did and the belief they had, all of that is a nation that is already gone. You guys are a new group of people. So sometimes what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to come down really hard on them, He considers them just like their forefathers. But here He's saying, hang on guys, you still have a choice. تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ. That's a nation that's already finished. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ. It has whatever it earned. وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ. And you will have whatever you earn. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And you will not be asked about what they were doing. When won't you be asked about what they were doing? When you reject what they were doing. If you continue to endorse their practices, no, you're going to be asked. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered them one in more than one place. If you are following them and you are attesting to the fact that these people are in truth, but really they're on batil, then you're going to be questioned for attesting and agreeing to falsehood. But if you decide to accept Islam and you decide to walk the other way and you decide to turn the other way, then tilka ummatun qad khalat. It's a nation that has passed. Whatever they earned will be for and against them, and whatever you earn will be for or against you. You will not be asked about the actions they were doing. Why? وَلَا تَكْسِبُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ إِلَّا عَلَيْهَا. Because every soul only earns against and for itself, not for other people. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. And every sinner, he only ends up bearing the sin of himself. You're not going to be responsible for what other people do. But again, if you agree to their sins, then that's a different idea. You see in society all sorts of vices and you say, oh great, good on them, mate, right? If you do one of those, then no, now you're saying that they're fine. You're acknowledging the falsehood. You have to at least deny the falsehood and then you can walk your own way and you'll be okay. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives them an opportunity now. That they have the opportunity to turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal, to correct their ways. And if they do that, then they won't be like the Banu Israel that Allah is describing. They'll be another people. They will be like the good ones. Because see, Allah gave examples of the good and the bad, right? See, do you understand what I'm saying? Because not all of them were bad. Technically, Ya'qub and his children are all Banu Israel. And so, some of them are prophets of God. Some of them are great saints and pious people. Allah gave the example of the ones that were not so good and He gave the examples of the ones who were also good as well. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to follow in the footsteps of the righteous. Allahumma ameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.